Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Real Life Radio with Desiree Michelle and myself, Jerry Turan. And wow, I'm like texting Des just before the show is starting. It's like 3 minutes, Des. I still haven't heard from you. Is this happening? Right? Starting to get into panic mode, going, okay. So can I do this myself, or I could just get on there and say, okay, you know what, it's not happening, we'll reschedule, tune in next week, right? All sorts of stuff coming up for me. So so Des is here with me. How's it going, Des?
I just had an aha just as you were talking. So now it's better.
Like, okay, okay. Well, I'm glad that you're here, and this show should be interesting because I had my little breakdown yesterday and just really thought I'm just going to honor this energy, everything that I'm feeling, and oh my goodness, that raw realness is not easy. It's really uncomfortable at times, but I think it's just so important to just feel what we're feeling right now. And as much as we can just let go and let ourselves break down when we need to break down and feel everything that we have yet to feel, everything we've blocked, that's like been my practice for like a month now. It's just, I don't know, it's coming up rapidly. It's coming up intensely. Anyone who ever told you life wasn't intense, they should have, because that is it. That is the experience of life. It's riddled with intensity. If it's not intense, then you're probably numbing. And I'm not doing that anymore. So I'm just like willing to feel the intensity of life, willing to feel everything that comes up. Even when it doesn't feel good, I'm willing to make space for it. And it's the only way. Like, I really don't feel like there's anything else we can do at this point, other than just like allow ourselves to be in the experience of what is. Anything else is crazy. Resisting what is just like, you know, it's why the world is the way it is, and it needs to stop.
It, you know, it's funny
change,
though, because
it is changing.
It feels less crazy to resist it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It feels
it does. It feels
crazy.
More normal.
But
because that's what we've been trained to do, so it feels normal and comfortable, right?
Well, it's comfortable because there's removal. There's this gap between what I'm feeling right now. Like, it's easier to observe it than it is to be there and observe it while feeling it. Like, because that's the difference, right? Like, I don't know. So while you were talking during the introduction, you're talking about all the possibilities. Like, okay, where is she? First of all, me, right? Okay, so
okay?
Is she going to call in? Is she not? Can I do the show by myself? Can I not? Should I just get on and cancel it? And the aha that I had was, well, any of those would have been fine. Like, there was actually no right answer. Like, they're all right. And that is what I'm struggling with, because as you know, and some of our listeners know, I'm doing this coaching program right now, and we're on Module 3. Which happens to be about identifying your ideal client, which is who you were half a step ago, because you're fully qualified to lead someone that's half a step behind you on the journey, right? So
yes,
I'm like,
agreed.
Okay. So I'm, and you know, it's funny. So we got given this module on Monday and I've put it off until today because as soon as I looked at it, I got really excited and nauseous at the same time. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I wonder what the nausea is about. Well, I found out today what the nausea was about, and that was what was why I missed your text, and I was like in this fugue state of panic because I'm like, okay, first of all, I don't really want to coach the woman who's half a step behind me because she's neurotic and fucking high maintenance. And how do I know that? Because I'm still neurotic and high maintenance. So that was the first thing. The second thing was, in 2010, which is what I was sort of actually thinking about, so it's a little bit more than half a step and not, you know, and I was getting into coaching in that same period of time and I was getting really deeply self-reflective. And what kept coming up then and what scared me and what caused me to start living life more safe or whatever, to kind of go back and mm-hmm. settle into a situation I wasn't really passionate about, but it was safe. And what motivated me to do that is because I was getting lost in this like Alice in Wonderland rabbit hole of, oh my God, do I even know what I'm doing? Am I even on the right path? I mean, I look around me and the evidence I had, especially in 2010, was I had this destroyed marriage, this terrible, violent self-loathing, this like enormous amount of attack from what was my circle of friends. I couldn't even pay, like I couldn't afford, I could not pay where I was living. I couldn't afford groceries for my kids. I had like no emotional availability for them. So like our whole family was just this big, ugly mess. And I'm looking at that, like, who the fuck am I to be making these decisions? I can't trust my own intuition. Right. And so now I look at where I am now and it's better than there, but it's like, do I even know if I'm on the right path? I mean, what business do I have coaching anybody along their journey if it resembles anything like mine? I give me the best advice I could be like, turn around, go the other way. don't follow me.
Yeah, go back. This is the unknown. Don't walk through that. Don't go down that hole. You can't
it might go somewhere bad. Yeah, it might be somewhere really, really bad. I don't know, guys. Like, you know, and that feeling of I don't have the right answer. So while you were talking, it was, wow, shit, actually there isn't any wrong ones. There's not even one wrong answer.
No.
So it's like,
yeah, isn't that a beautiful...
Okay.
Yeah. That's so important. Like, really, people, you can't make a mistake. It's impossible.
And that's what I was
like,
getting
and I remember
at in the write-up.
Feeling that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was getting at that
and
in
I remember,
the write-up.
Like,
I was
my...
feeling... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I remember feeling totally distraught about that when I was debating on, you know, do I leave my marriage? Do I stay? What do I do? It felt like I was damned if I do, I was damned if I don't. Somebody gets hurt no matter what. I'm hurting no matter what. I feel guilt no matter what, you know, guilt with not honoring myself if I stay, guilt with not with hurting my whole family if I leave, right? So I'm like, oh my God, like I'm just stuck between a rock and a hard place. There is no winning here. And I'd been dealing with this for months and I'd had the breakdown and my health had broken down and everything. Like I was just distraught and I just kind of gave up and surrendered. I'm like sitting in the bottom of the shower crying. And then lying in bed, just like wanting to stay there all day, and decided to just breathe and just focus on my breathing and went into kind of a meditative state. And all of a sudden I smelled my dad's smell and he had passed 10 years earlier, exactly to the day. And I felt him with me and I felt like someone touched me and basically just this laughter in the background, like, my darling Jerry, if you only knew, it's impossible to make a mistake. Leave, don't leave, it doesn't matter. Like you're that led and directed and you are that guided that, you know, you're still going to end up in the same place. You know, what path you take is irrelevant. It's all for learning. Like it's like, you know, Edison in the light bulb and stuff and 10,000 tries. Like none of them are failures. None of them were mistakes. They all led you closer to the truth and to what actually will work. And so it's just a research project, like just get in the game and be willing to experience whatever you're experiencing. And that's it. That's the purpose, to experience all of it. And I'm like, what? But I got it on such a level. I just came up laughing and crying. And I was blogging about it, and I was, and then I realized it was like the 10th anniversary to the day of my dad's death, which was pretty trippy. And yeah, and ever since then, I use that. That's like, wow, remember what that felt like and how legit that was, how like there was this total laughter in the background. And, you know, that like if you only knew, you know, how much more you are than this and how much weight you're putting on this little thing in the big picture.
Yeah.
And you can't screw up. It's impossible. You're here to experience what life is. You're here to experience it all. Nothing is a screw up. It all just leaves you home.
Feeling.
Yeah, it is.
Like if you
take the pressure off.
And I think that's, like, that's what I was trying to get at with the write-up. I had this, like, aha moment of clarity, which, of course, was followed by total chaos today. But the moment of clarity yesterday was, like, there is, like, you know what? If you want a boob job, go get one. You know, like, let go of whatever moralistic attachment you have to God has created you this way, and how dare you defile that by making changes or insult him by changing it or whatever, right? And the whole,
right.
Like, I've taken so many rules, like, and it's just another kind of religion, like, you know, it doesn't matter if it's got a name or not, but like these rules to live by, like the let go, let God. Well, that has some validity in right context, but I would take it out of context and I would use it as an excuse to not do what I actually wanted, because I should just let go of that desire to have that experience, right? And I should just let it go and just let God bring me the real experience that I really want, that's going to bring me a sense of satisfaction. And it's like, fuck that. Like, to give up. I would give up on my dreams. I would get, because I really want to do coaching. Like, I'm putting this out there in the world because I love connecting with people. I love offering, like, what we're doing for each other right in this moment of, like, they're in a state of panic and feeling so not okay, and just to be that safe space for them to rediscover they are okay, to just come back, you know, to that place where you realize you're present, you have nowhere to go, like, whatever you're doing right now is fine, whatever urgings you have in you that you want to go experience are fine, you're not going to ruin anything, you're not going to destroy anything, you're not going to, like, look at, like, let's say that's like the epitome of a series of bad decisions, okay? But at the end of the day, and I don't want to hurt, I know people are going to be all caught up in their stories around this, but like the planet's still here. People are still people. We're still having experiences. Like the planet did not explode because this one single human being made a series of very bad decisions, and a lot of people around him also made a bunch, just, you know, got caught up, and everybody was making all of these terrible decisions, right? And yeah, it even wound up to the point, like, you know, where there was like huge world war over. I mean, it was a huge thing, but we're still here. So
hopefully learning from it.
Well, then what if we're not? I don't know. So this is the thing that's playing around in my head, is like, what if we're actually, we never get anywhere? Like, what if we're not actually evolving? We're just continuously having a bunch of different experiences. Like, what if that's it? What if there is no evolutionary movement? What if it's just a series of actions, and then this, and then that, and then this, but we're not going anywhere? Like, what if that's, I don't know. So sometimes that brings me a lot of peace.
And I kind of like,
sometimes it doesn't.
That philosophy. Yeah. Yeah, because I just kind of like to think, you know what? Every door leads to love.
Yeah.
You know, everything is an invitation to be who you are more authentically. Every single moment is an opportunity to show up like you've never shown up for yourself before. And, you know, and to love yourself more and to love others more and to express love and to be authentic and to invite other people into that. And what if that all is all it is, right? It's like really life only exists here and now in the present. And we're not really supposed, you know, there's so many people just walking around in that whole robotic thing, like not making any connection or contact and these huge heart walls up and it's not safe. And, you know, so we're just, it's just all an invitation to let go and let God, or let go and let love. But that doesn't mean don't put your order in and give up on your dreams. Like, it was interesting, I was reading your write-up and I'm like, going, oh my God, that's I totally believe all that stuff though, Des. But then
I realized it was meant to be upsetting.
What you were saying. You know, and then I'm like, yeah, like you don't just, okay, surrender. Okay, show me, you know, there is show me what's next, but you still have to put your order in. You can't just like go through Tim Hortons and expect to get what you want when you didn't even order anything. Right? Put your order
well,
in, but you're
God
surrendering
really
the result. Yeah, then but you got to let go of the time frame, let go of the result, let go of how you think it should look. And so then there's that degree of trust, but it's still, I mean, like, yeah, take your power back. Don't become a victim of life. Like, life loves you, and when you make decisions and put your order in, when you're in a centered and aligned place, the universe supports that, of course. But when you're making fear-based decisions, that's not who you are. It's not in alignment. Will you be supported? Probably not. You'll probably get the door slammed in your faces. You probably... You know, and you can just keep banging through that, and that's a lesson too. Or you can just take it as a okay, and kind of as a redirect. Like, you know, why did I make this decision? Why did I do this? And I've had several redirects lately where I totally made egoic, fear-based decisions, and they didn't work out. And I want to kind of beat myself up. Oh, my God, I know better than that. I teach this stuff, man, how to make a decision from love and how to, you know, and how to check in and make sure that it's not coming from a place of fear, right? Fear of being alone, fear of being broke, fear of, you know. So we do sign on to these get-rich-quick schemes, and we get in relationships that are less than what we want. And, you know, we make all sorts of decisions out of fear, and it's what we've been taught to do. And so, again, that door opens to love, too, because now I do my little heart rub. I put my hand over my heart, and I breathe into the center, and I just say, I'm sorry. Sorry, Jer-Bear, you know, I didn't listen, and please forgive me. Thank you. I love you, and it's okay, you know, and I talk to myself like that child in pain, like that little girl. She did the best she could. Didn't make the best decision, and it's okay. It's all going to work out. So just trust and know that there's some big, you know, there's some big learning in this for you. And yeah, and now and an opportunity so to notice next time and to end that pattern. So I don't have to keep, you know, keep recreating these same things where I feel like I'm screwed over or like I'm not important or like I'm, you know, stupid or whatever else I tell myself. But even every time I catch myself saying those mean things and abusing myself, then I'm like, okay, opportunity to blast out even more love. So if there weren't all those screw-ups, if we didn't make mistakes, if we never, you know, treated other people badly or judged others and judged ourselves, then there wouldn't be as much opportunity to love and to forgive, and that's what heals, and that's what helps bring us all back to who we really are. So, yeah, just catch yourself as much as possible, forgive yourself, and that is a face of love, and that's blasting out even more love, and if you'd never screwed up, that love wouldn't even be there, that opportunity to love more, and to know yourself more, and go, wow, you know. Yeah, I got this. I can do this. And, yeah, I still feel a lot of emotion and energy around some of this stuff. And I'm like, well, good. At least I'm human. At least I'm feeling. At least my heart is open. And it's a call to open it more, not less, and to love more, not less. Just do the opposite of what you think you should do. Like, oh, shut down, disconnect.
Run
know,
away,
don't trust anybody.
Be scared.
Runaway. Yeah, no, and it's the opposite. Sit with it, make room for it, open your heart even more, breathe it through you, feel it, feel the energy, the experience without the story. So as much as we cannot get caught up in, oh my God, I did this before, I did that before, and enlarge it and tell yourself a story around it and or try and figure it out or, you know, try and solve this emotional feeling with our head, because you can't solve emotion from a by figuring it out. You can only heal by feel, right? You have to feel it to heal it. And that means open, not close. So especially when you want to close is when it's most important to open. And that's my journey the last month or two. And I'm really grateful for it, even though it softened me a lot. And I have deep compassion, more than I've ever had, for myself. And so that always transfers to others, right? Yeah. So how about you? What are your biggest tips for dealing with this and really, you know, and not using those, you know, let go, let God. And, you know, don't worry, this didn't work out just because the universe has even better plans for you. Put something about that, right?
Yeah.
We can totally use it to our detriment
can use any set of rules as a detriment. You can use it as a limiting excuse to feel sorry for yourself or to limit the truth of what you want to experience, because I mean, all the rules that we invent, all of the sayings that we take either in context or out of context, anything that's ever come out of anybody's mouth, guru or otherwise, all of it, including what comes out of our mouth, is this attempt to help ourselves be happy, right? Mm-hmm. And to help ourselves recognize ourselves. But it's so easy to get caught and keep dredging up this saying or this whatever, as instead of taking accountability for, you know, what you want and getting up off the couch and being scared and putting yourself out into the world and presenting yourself and being brave and being soft-hearted and being open. And just, you know, it's so much easier to come up with a bunch of excuses. Like it's, or not even excuses, but to just rely on habit. Habit is just so much easier than being present. It just is. It's much, much easier. That's why we do it. I mean, we're wired to do it. We create habits. Yeah. That are, some of them are helpful and some of them aren't. And some of them are helpful for a time, but then they cease being helpful. And part of my practice is getting in touch with what of these habitual ways of thinking or these old, you know, good oldies that I pull out from my fucking back pocket every time that I, you know, what if those are actually holding me back and not serving me? Or what of them am I using so I don't have to think or I don't have to feel or I don't have to become creative? Which of those am I using so I sound smart because I'm actually scared and I don't know the answer? And instead of just saying, Kali, I don't know the answer, like, let's all just sit here in the unknown for a minute. Instead of doing that, I'll, like, quickly reach in for some, you know, heartwarming, make everyone feel better quote or something like that. But it's, like, sometimes the best thing I can do for myself. And so I was having this huge meltdown, mental meltdown, trying to do this workbook. And I reached out to my, because there's a closed group on Facebook. And as I said, basically what I said to you, like, I don't want to work with my past me. I'm neurotic and high maintenance, and you know, here's all the shit I'm struggling with around it and blah 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 blah. And this other woman reached out, she's like, well, yeah, you know, I'm with you. I thought I would enjoy this module, and I'm kind of really not, because I don't want to work with her, she's hard, you know. And so then this one woman says, well, you know, what if you just stuck with, you know, maybe you could integrate coaching into your design business. And there was a part of me that was like, yeah, well, I'm already doing that, but the reason why it's not enough to just do that is because it's, the truth is, I want to get okay with sitting with my own mystery, my own unknowing, my own confusion, my own scared self, and just hang out with that and observe and recognize and celebrate how it by itself, just in the observation of it, not using any techniques, not using any, like, anything, just sitting in there. Well, I guess it's technically a technique to sit there and be present for it, but I mean, really directly, like not thinking about it, not like.
Yeah, just be, feel into the energy of it. Be with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And well, if I can learn to do that while I'm navigating this, then I can help her who is me half a step ago, you know, and I want to, because I believe there's, I mean, really the truth of it, I believe I am magnificent. When I let myself have the space to be fully who I am, messes and all, insecurities and all, confusion and all, anger and all, because that's one that I've struggled to really embrace. And it's intimately connected with mm-hmm. my power. Like, and that's the other thing about let go, let God. You be a good girl. Calm down. Just relax. Yeah. Just let it be. It's going to be fine. Everything's okay. You know, and it's like, no, maybe it will be okay, but at this precise moment in time, it doesn't feel okay. And I don't want to be in a big hurry to move out of it or to poo-poo it or to come up with a bunch of like platitudes to like diminish it. Like sometimes, Jerry, rage is roaring through my body. Like it's pulsating through me from head to toe. And it doesn't mean I have to do anything about it. I don't have to go and rage out and punch a hole in the wall or call someone and scream at them and tell, you know, but it, I don't want to just be all in there as fast as I possibly can, panicking, slipping through my book of, you know what I mean? Oh my God,
right.
I have to stop feeling okay.
How do I
now.
Get okay?
Like, how do I get okay?
No,
how do I get
okay? It is
okay
to
like,
feel that.
Yeah, it's okay to not be okay. That, and I keep forgetting that one, and it's okay that I keep forgetting it, but that's actually it. That's the technique sometimes is to just like, yeah, I'm fucking losing it. I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm doing. And just sit in that space because I'm really afraid of that. Yeah. I'm afraid of admitting that to myself and to the world, especially because I do kind of have, I mean, I do assume leadership roles or they're given to me as the case may be. And it's really easy to fear like, oh my God, what if I'm leading myself and others astray? Like, what if I am, you know? And then the answer sometimes is, yeah, what if you are?
I love that part of you too that leads others astray, you know,
everyone. Yeah, I mean, I look at some of the stuff I used to teach and it's no longer valid, and I think, oh my God, I can't believe I used to think this.
And what if people are
but
still
I know Wayne Dyer
it?
Said
oh
the
God.
Same stuff,
you know?
Yeah, well, Wayne Dyer said he looked back at his original books and went, holy shit, did I lead people astray, right? But at the time, that's what they needed. That was
that was
a perfect stepping stone. And so,
I love
that you said that, you know, to try, you don't have to calm. Oh, it's okay. But no, it's feel what you feel. Feel the rage. Like, my God, there's a reason for that. And then it naturally just kind of transmutes into something different when it's felt.
Yeah.
So I think that is so important. And, you know, people trying to force themselves, I have to forgive and I have to do that. Well, no, you have to first honor how you're feeling. Like that you're feeling hurt or betrayed or whatever, like go there. And then it'll naturally progress to this energy where it's like, okay, I'm ready to let go now.
I'm reading this
and
book
I have
right
a forgiveness
now
workshop tonight. So perfect.
Oh, do you? Well, there you go. Perfect segue into that. Yeah. The letting go thing, the book that I'm reading right now is talking about, you know, like, I am not my thoughts. And that I've always understood. I mean, that's like, yeah. So, but then the other one, it said, I'm not my feelings. And I was like, whoa, wait, what?
Yeah. So let me just tell people, you know, if we continue, we're going to be cut off pretty quick.
Okay.
So I just want to thank people for listening. And we're going to continue the conversation. So the recording, you will be able to hear the rest of it. But, yeah, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week, same time, and please listen to the recording if you want to catch the end of this conversation. Love you.
And come to Charlie tonight. Love you, bye.
Yes, yeah, come to the forgiveness session.
Yes, the forgiveness and the releasing. So I was raised, and here's the thing, so we talk about old technology or, you know, leading people astray, And you're never really leading them astray, but it's like, I think it's really important to add that there's always the permission to let go of. So whatever's working for you today, it's okay to not use it tomorrow if it doesn't work anymore. Like, just go ahead and let it go. Like, and that's what I'm trying to get at. And this, so in this book, because I was raised by this really lovely woman who was taking all this psychology and early childhood development and really wanted to do a much better job of parenting me than her mother did her. And so it was all about our feelings, and we would tie those bitches down to chairs and we would analyze them every which way from Sunday. And it was like, I was my feeling. I mean, it was like, oh,
wow.
No, no one's leaving this room. So we have psychoanalyzed the shit out of this emotional experience right now. Because for her, when she was raised, she felt like her feelings didn't matter, that her mother just simply could not even give a flying fuck about my mother's feelings. So my mom tried to do the opposite and overcared about them. So I learned feelings are really important. Like, oh man, like we need to spend as much time analyzing the feeling we're feeling. How does it feel? Where did it come from? What? And so I would actually create all of these stories around, I didn't want to. I'm like, Mom, I'm fine. Like, let me go. Right? And she's like, no. We need to finish this, right? And I'm like, it is finished. So instead of letting it be done, we would like create all of this extra around it that didn't, it wasn't even necessary. So then I developed this habit of clinging to my emotions until I had analyzed them from every conceivable possible angle. And then, and only then, was it permissible to let it go, to open my hand around that ball that I was, you know, the feeling is that ball in my hand. Only then was it okay to release it. And so now I'm like, okay, it's cool. That's just old technology. It is actually perfectly acceptable to catch myself having a really huge feeling. So I'm having that big meltdown right earlier, right before the call. And it was like, wait a minute. I can just decide it doesn't matter that I don't know. I can stop feeling anxious. I can just decide I'm done feeling anxiousness. Like I felt it. Yep. Does it matter where it came from? No. Does it matter that do I have a cure for it, or do I have the solution that I'm feeling? No. Can I just let go of feeling anxious though? Can I like literally just open my hand and like feel it in my belly and just let it go? Well, sure. I'm actually allowed to do that. And it's like, I am? Oh yeah, you're totally allowed to just decide you're done feeling mad and not feel mad anymore. You can let it go. Just like you can stop thinking a think. If you're sick of thinking about it, you can think about something else. If you're sick of feeling something, you can feel something else. And it isn't repressing it necessarily. I mean, that's another thing, but I'm not talking about repressing it. I'm talking about be present for it, notice its feeling, and then let it go. And don't, you don't have to hang on to it. Yeah. Like, you really seriously don't have to hang on to it. And this is like maybe silly for some people, but it's like life altering for me. I'm like, what? Like, I can just decide to stop having my feeling hurt right now. I can just stop taking things personally right now. I can just stop feeling angry. Well, sure. Are you done? Do you feel you've had the angry experience? Do you feel you're good with, yeah, I'm good. Let's not feel it anymore. Great. Next. Like, and you can do that. Like, we're allowed to.
I love that. Yeah, it reminds me, you've always said, you don't have to strap it to the chair.
Yeah.
analyze it to death and from every different angle, and you know that always echoes in my head, right? Am I strapping this to the chair? You know.
Yeah. Am I?
No,
and hey, but you know what?
Until it's like.
Yeah.
Totally so.
Until it's exhausted. Until it's been beaten to death, and there's just But the thing of it is, and here's the irony: actually doing that makes it stick around longer. Like where you think you're doing all this work. I don't know. Sometimes I really envy people who they just kind of, I envy my ex and I envy my son because they have such an infinite capacity. Like something really enormous happens, like an enormously embarrassing thing happens and they feel embarrassment for about 35 seconds and then they're done. Like they're just done. They don't feel embarrassed anymore. Me, same thing happens. I'm like laying awake at night, analyzing all the reasons why I feel embarrassed, how I could have avoided that, why I don't need to feel embarrassed. It's okay. I mean, you're a good, all of this shit. And they just like, they've mastered the art of opening their hand and just letting it go. Like no further analysis required.
Yeah. My youngest is that way. And as much as she gets teased a little bit by her siblings, because
you know, when she's distraught, she'll just cry. When she's angry, she's angry. And then it's gone. Because
yeah.
she's so willing to just cry and
be there.
Get angry and feel whatever she's feeling. It's like, and then she's just totally in love again. And she's
yeah.
got this like joy body that's pretty much always there. And then she has her little tantrum and then they're gone. And her sister's like, you shouldn't be like that. I can't believe you're like crying over nothing. You have nothing to cry about. And they're doing that, talking her out of her experience. And I said, you know what? What she's doing is really functional. The rest of us,
it's
that
so
tendency
functional.
To numb things and hide things and hold it in. You know, we could learn a thing or two from your sister.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's actually, she's doing the best because she's in the experience of life. She's willing to feel whatever she's feeling without analyzing, without, you know, she doesn't. She just feels it. It's like, well, I'm really angry right now. But she doesn't go to every other time she was angry and why she might be angry and where did this anger come from. And, oh, my God, it's not okay to be angry. And what if I take it out on people? What if I'm affecting or draining other people with this anger? Now I can't go out in public because I might suck other people's energy. And but, you know, like, oh, my God, just be angry already. Be in the energy of that feeling. Stop. Get out of your freaking head. The way out of your monkey mind is through is by Jeff Brown said in, you know, the way to quiet the monkey mind is to open the human heart. Just feel it. Just feel it. Yeah, it's so crazy, but I see, you know, that she's the only one. And I don't know where she got that from. God bless her for coming in. And I guess, you know, her biological father is like that. And I used to criticize the hell out of him for that because he was the first guy that I ever was with that
mm-hmm.
cried, and he cried a lot. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're manipulative. You're like, why are you crying? And I took it as manipulation and, like, he was trying to get something. And, like, you know, and, you know, maybe he was actually just being emotionally authentic. But at that point, I was really uncomfortable with it because I had not yet opened the floodgates of my own heart. And so I'm like, I'm not holding space for this. So my head would go off. Like, what's he trying to do? He's just trying to get me, or he's trying to make me feel sorry for him. And,
yeah.
I mean, he's actually crying out loud so I can hear him. How manipulative is that? So go to your room, close the door, and I don't need to hear you. You know, I'm like, I shouldn't hear you crying. As soon as I hear you, it means you're manipulating me. And you want my sympathy, and you want me to stay, and you want... I'm like, oh, my God. But that's how I was, right? And that's what I see... my other kids kind of do with my youngest when she, you know, and I've sat them down and said, you know what, this is pretty amazing how present she is, present for everything. And look at, she doesn't have the autoimmune stuff that my other kids are getting, these little weird attacks now
mm-hmm.
and then, and migraines. And well, what do you think that is? It's resisting what is. It's the not being willing to just feel what you feel. It's pushing
yeah,
parts
rejecting
of you down.
Yourself. Yeah, rejecting where you
yeah.
are now. Yeah. So that's the thing about the boob job. It's like, I still want one after all of the like work that I've been doing, and peace and love and joy that I send them. And it's like, you know what? At the end of the day, I want them done. And my first 10 grand that I have extra, like, that's what I'm doing. And I don't care if it's the wrong decision and, oh, but I might get cancer because I did it or what. Well, you know what? Then I'll deal with the cancer. You know, I just feel like...
Yeah. Like, does that mean you're rejecting a part of yourself? Well, maybe you're actually rejecting a part of yourself by not honoring what you want.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
and so what if what I want is shallow and lame? Oh, well.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying so hard my whole life to not be shallow and lame and reject any part of myself that I thought was mean or shallow or selfish or... And it's like, oh, my God, really? The more that I try to reject it, the more that comes up all over the place, and I act in those ways anyway. So I might as well just embody it, and then maybe I can actually be more giving authentically, more compassionate authentically. And even if I can't,
yeah.
and I just totally morph into the single most shallow person on the face of the planet, well, oh, well.
I love it. I love it. This is huge. Like, you got to love all the parts of you. The part that wants a boob job, the part that thinks you're, that you know, thinks that we're unattractive, the part, like, we got to love them. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. And we can even do things for them if we want.
Yeah. Just love them, acknowledge them, say, you know what, it's okay to feel that way. It's okay to not love yourself right now. It's okay that you're struggling. It's okay, you know, it's okay that you're pissed
it's
off.
It's okay to
be pissed off.
Yeah. And it's okay to say, because it's really no different. It's really no different. Like, I love having a beautiful home. I do. I love decorating mine and other. I love decorating other people's houses. Like, I got nothing against having a beautiful looking home. But to say that it's not okay to get a boob job or any other kind of surgery, whether it's on yourself or whatever, is kind of the same thing as saying, well, it's not okay to have a nice home. You should really just have whatever rock you can find to crawl under for shelter to be enough, because that's what God provided you. God provided you with outside, so that's where you should live. Don't build a house. Certainly don't make it pretty if you think it's pretty to have show pillows. No, no. God didn't make those show pillows. You're not allowed to have them. Like, you should feel shame for your show pillows. How dare you reject the earth that God gave you by building this house?
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, I do, you know, and then people will walk in your house and sure, you're going to get the people, right. Like, thank you. You know, I want this too, and giving them permission. Yeah, I want to beautify my house. Or you're going to get the reject people that reject it too. Like, oh my God, she's so materialistic and whatever else.
Well, those aren't my people.
And it's just a reflection of the different parts of different. Yeah. And isn't that beautiful, right? That when we get rejected, it's like, we really need to be grateful for that, because it's such an easy redirect that this is not a person that you need to be with, you know? So it's saving you energy. It's saving you time. Mm-hmm. And it's just clearly that they're not your tribe. They're not for you. That, you know, the universe is amazing the way that it helps us figure out what people, what jobs are not for us. Like, that's not in alignment. So,
and
yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Super sweet. So there you go. It's okay to be wrong. That's my takeaway today. Do it anyways if you want to. Yeah. And if it turns out later it was wrong, you know what? Everything's wrong later. The most sagest piece of advice that's ever been given has eventually become obsolete. Ergo, wrong. Mm. So you know what? If it's appropriate right now, if it resonates right now, if it brings you peace or joy or a deepening of whatever experience it is that you're wanting now, then guess what? It's right for you right now. And it might not be right later, but it's right now. So rock. That's the end of my takeaway today.
I love it. Yep. Screw up. Get a boob job. Feel what you feel. Open, especially when you want to close. And all is well. Welcome to the intense experience of being alive. I love you.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you. This is such a convoluted, crazy episode. It's probably stopped recording and we're just talking to ourselves now. But it just, thank you so much for today. And
no, I think we have 1 minute.
Messiness. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah, we did well. Actually, the recording, we have 1 more minute enough to play a little bit of a song. I'm going to play Raise a Little Hell because that seems appropriate.
Okay. All right.
All right.
And we'll see you
have
next
a great
week.
Day.
You too. Love you.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.